And I'm a plan kind of guy, as you probably have learned. But sometimes I come towards a service, and there are reasons why things got modified. Something got canceled, but we knew that about 3 weeks ago. But as I prayed for the service, sometimes I pray towards a service, and the Lord doesn't give me any guidance as far as what he wants to do until we get real close to it. In fact, it wasn't until yesterday till I even started getting a somewhat assurance of the direction. So that's the reason why things are kind of a little different this morning. And what came to me is I believe that the Lord wanted us to share with you some of the testimonies of what took place at kids camp this week. As you know, we went to kids camp Monday through Friday. We came back Friday. And Dan Hayden said next week he wants to, or next year he wants to chaperone and take the kids himself. So he's all excited. And it was actually, it was a great time. I've been before.
That was recorded, dear.
That was recorded. roped him in there somehow. I've been to this camp before. It's a wonderful camp. In fact, the director of the camp came out of Bethel. His name is George Krebs. Some of you might be familiar with him. I've been to the camp. This is my third time going to this particular kids' camp. It's just a great camp, and we had a great time. And so I asked some of the kids if they'd be willing to share with you, and so I'm going to see how many of them are actually willing to come up here with me. So if you went to kids' camp and you want to come and join me to share, just come up here, and we're, Andrew's ready to give us more seats if we need to. But come on up, so we got you guys. So one, two, three. So it looks like three more chairs, Andrew. So three more chairs. I wasn't sure how many would actually join us, so we got a few of them here. We had about 12 kids go with us to kids' camp. We had 8 boys and 4 girls. And Carol, if you want to come up at any point and share, you can. You don't have to. Carol was our girl chaperone this week, and she really wore out her knee this week for those kids. Yeah. But... and so we're blessed that she was willing to do that. And that's why I know that Dan would be willing to do that, because you're his elder. we're going to share some testimonies. Before we do that, and here comes Andrew with the chairs, we have a couple of video clips that we're going to show you from Kids Camp. And don't worry, kids, you're not in all of it. It's actually the camp's made video. They put together a DVD. They work throughout the night, almost every night during the week, preparing this video, this DVD, so that when we leave, we can actually leave with the DVD of footage that took place during the camp. So it's really cool what kind of work they do. All right, go ahead, slide over there, Austin. And so we're going to start, Bonnie, with that first video, if you would. And if we can get the lights, John. And John, if you can get the lights for us. What's that? Okay. She's going to reinsert the DVD. So in a moment, we'll have it ready. While she's doing that, anybody have anything you'd like to share? what's that? Huh? Play musical chairs while we're waiting. Justin, oh, we have... Oh, that, I thought the video was starting. I thought I was about to be rescued. Instead, you're supporting this stuff. I don't want to put them to shame. I think I would beat them. They're saying otherwise. In fact, Cody here. What? Oh, you wanted to say something? Oh, you. I was going to say Cody here. We tried to hold up the joint and stop them from closing the game room while we were trying to very focusedly, strategically fight our way through winning a checkers game. And I had probably about 7 kings or so left to his 1, and somehow he managed to beat me in that one. But then the next game, I took all his pieces before he got any of mine. So so it was kind of even split. But Carol, yes.
I just wanted to say this is my 33rd year for going to camp. I love camp. Camp is really, really great. I can remember when I was working that I always thought I hadn't had a vacation unless I got to camp. That's kind of funny when you're really working harder when you're there, but it's a different work, you know? It's, if you like it, it's not work, right? And I had a great group of girls this year. I had four girls, and they were all quiet girls. They all went to bed when it was time to go to bed, and they didn't keep me up late. No fights. It was a wonderful week. But it was really, it's always great to go to camp. I think camp is just an awesome place, and it's awesome for the kids. They have a good time. You get real personal with the girls and boys, you know, really get to know them. And the times around the altar are just amazing, because you wouldn't think kids could be that involved, but they are. And they just get right into it, and they really pray hard, and it's just an awesome time. And it's just, it's good to see everybody again that you've seen before, even though as long as I've been there, I think I only knew about four people from before. A lot of young folks coming now. Not too many like me. But it was a great week, really was.
Thank you, sir. So, Bonnie, how's it going up there? It's coming. Do you need assistance at all, or you think it's coming? Well, while she's getting that ready, Larry actually asked if he could share a testimony about something unrelated to Kids Camp, but it's a good testimony. So, Larry, we're going to take this opportunity for you to share that if you want to come.
Kind of also goes in with the kids camp a little bit as well. My life has been a roller coaster for many, many years. My father was killed when I was a year old in a car accident, and my mother remarried to my stepfather, who I grew up with a very brutal and violent childhood. And throughout that growing up, I had a grandmother, great-grandmother, who planted a seed in me of Christ. She used to take us to church all the time. And just like these kids at a kids camp, that seed is planted in them. Amen. And as they go on into life, that seed will eventually be nourished. They may go their own separate ways and do the things that they shouldn't do, but they will also return back like I have. With my life growing up, I became very brutal myself and very addicted to drugs and alcohol. Unfortunately, I was removed from society for an extremely long, long period of time. In that time of being removed, I had a chance to reflect on my life and what my grandmother had planted that seed. And when I got out, my life was changed. I regave myself back to Christ. When I moved into this city, I moved into the city with a duffel bag of clothes. That's all I own. I have no family around here. And I remember sitting on the top of my step in the apartment that I rented, and I prayed to God that he would guide me, give me wisdom, and a family. And in that response to that, he has given me a loving wife, two very beautiful children. I am currently buying my home. And those things have been very well to me. That's the blessing that God has given me. In return, everybody has a testimony. If you look in the mirror, you'll see your own testimony, what your life will bring you, and where you have come from. In the process of God giving me back my life, the trials and tribulations have still come. I've been diagnosed with a disease called neurofibroma. Cells in my body continue to grow. I've had lung surgery. I only have 1.5 lungs, but I have had lung surgery. I've had back surgery. I've just recently experienced rotator cuff surgery. And as of 3 weeks ago, I was terminated from my job after 18 and a half years. And so currently I'm not working and I'm still struggling with some medical issues. But in the process of that, as I sit back and I reflect on what my life has been, where it has come, where it is going, I look out at the Church of Bethel, and Bethel Assemblies Church has been a church that has been very giving to me, not just to me, but to my family. And we are extremely grateful for all the prayers that you guys have given us, the financial needs that you have given us throughout our lives to build to where I am at. But as I look at these children here and throughout the church, and I see that the seed that we are planting as Bethel Assembly is that someday these seeds will grow into adults like us. They will have their trials and tribulations, but they'll also look back at what Kids Camp has done for them. And we should all be proud that we are bringing them forth. And before I close out, I would like to say that because I lost my job and I have a lot of medical issues, I'm not looking for people for money. People at the church here and people around me has offered to help us with our bills and stuff like that. We are fine at this moment. My family's not struggling. We have Christ and we have our friends and family members throughout the church. So all we're really asking for is prayers. And like I said, once again, this is that, you know, life is very harsh. But as long as you look up to God, you know you can be comforted and you will be fine.
Amen.
And so I want to thank everybody for their time.
Nothing more powerful evidence of Christ than a changed life. Amen. Isn't that great? So it looks like we have that video ready. So if we'll go ahead and play this first video. Man, as you can see there, there's more than one Bethel Assembly of God in the district. So only one of our kids was on there. That was Brittany. So we made a celebrity of Brittany on that DVD. They have 4 weeks of camp, and they have probably approximately 300 kids at each one. The one before us actually had 480 kids at it. So it's really cool what happened. So. What I'm going to ask the kids first is your favorite thing at camp that was a non-spiritual thing, because sometimes a spiritual thing could be the favorite thing, which is awesome, and we'll get to that in a moment. But we want to do the non-spiritual favorite things first, and any volunteers, I won't make them talk if they don't want to. Gabe.
Probably my favorite thing about camp was probably the pool, because that was the only time that was it. It's just the pool. My favorite.
And I found out he's a super fast swimmer because they wanted to play tag, but their version of tag was just get me. So I was flying through the pool and the pool area trying to escape, and he was fast. I was trying my best to get away from him. And the only reason I got away from him a number of times is he just kept forgetting to tag me. He would be standing right in front of me, and he'd forget to tag me, and then he'd not pay attention. I'd take off running. But all right, Casey.
My favorite part about camp was their swimming pool.
Awesome. Anybody else?
Austin. My most favorite thing at camp was probably going to service and not just being spiritual and accepting God in my life, but was also that you don't know what you're doing, but you're actually having fun almost the whole entire service and playing games. But I know Casey, he may not know it, but I know his favorite thing was tubing.
We went tubing. It's like a creek, and we did probably about 8 rescue missions. I did 5 myself, and Austin did the other 3 for me. but because they would get stuck on the side and stuff, and you'd swim upstream or get out. But yeah, that was a fun time. Anybody else want to share a favorite thing at camp? It was fun for all of us but KC. You don't, okay. Cody wanted to talk, but he didn't want to once the mic came. Anything? Yes. It's Ochi.
My favorite thing about camp was the water slide.
My favorite thing about camp was the pool.
Awesome. You want to say something? Before the end, we'll have Cody conclude us in prayer at the end. I'm just kidding. But we had a lot of fun experiences. And as you saw in there, you saw a scene where they were blowing leaf blowers at the kids. The illustration was initially they came out with hair dryers. And there was probably about 8 hair dryers. They came blowing hair dryers at all the kids. And he was talking about how when you get saved, you receive the Holy Spirit in your life, even though you can feel it, you might not necessarily be able to see it. And then they said when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not that you're any better, it's just that you feel more power in your life. And that's when all the leaf blowers came flying out, about 7 of them or so, blowing them in all their faces. They went nuts, and it was a great time. But you have some, Casey?
I made Rice Krispie treats.
They let him make, as an analogy, Rice Krispie treats. What's that? You ate a Christian. I'll have to explain that. This is, ever seen that show, Kids Say the Darndest Things? Sometimes you don't know what to expect with the Holy Spirit, and there's a reason why it says to have faith like a child, because you don't know what to expect with children sometimes either. But another analogy that the camp speaker did was he took a Rice Krispie, one single Rice Krispie, and put it in a bowl and asked them to make a Rice Krispie treats out of that. Obviously, you can't do that with one Rice Krispie. And he ate the one Rice Krispie, I guess. But if you add a bunch of Rice Krispies into the mix, you can create a delicious dessert that's a Rice Krispie treat. And he was talking about how we need all the people of the body of Christ to be working together, and then the marshmallowy, buttery substance is the Holy Spirit that holds all those people together. It's kind of interesting and cool. But all right, well, let's look at our second video, Bonnie, if we would. And that's so cool. So cool. To hear some of them, a couple of them got called into missions, one specifically to India. This is really cool what the Lord was doing there. So I'm going to have these guys share what they want to as far as what the Holy Spirit did in them this week. Before they do that, though, my food team, if you want to go ahead and get ready to start setting us up outside at this time. But the Holy Spirit was really moving in their lives, and I want to see which ones would like to share. Anybody want to share about what the Lord was doing in your life this week? What's Austin?
Well, we both just sat down during the whole entire service most of the time, minus the dancing. And then the next day, I was like, "You're worshiping every time you dance." And I was like, "Oh, so I've been worshiping the whole entire time at camp." And then after that, God contacted me. He was like, "Raise your hands in the back of the room, and I'll contact you again." So I went back into the side of the room, and I raised my hands up. And he came to me, and he talked to me, and he was like, "You are one of my children, and you can help others accept me again." And then I went over to Gabe and Cody, and they were both praying. And I laid my hands on them, and they both started raising their hands. And then Daquan, he was afraid of raising his hands. He felt weird. So I stand right in front of him, and he was like, I said, "Raise your hands and close your eyes." Then I walked away. And he raised his hand for like a whole 10 minutes. And I was like, and then he opened his eyes. He was like, "Where is he?" And then that was basically how I was baptized in the Holy Spirit that whole week.
Praise the Lord. Any of the others would like to share? You said that's too personal? Or any of my kids that are still out sitting out there want to share? You can just raise your hand if you want to. No. Okay. Daquan, is that a yes? That's not a yes. What happened on Wednesday night? They were talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the blow dryers and the leaf blowers. And as we're worshiping at the end there, I look and Austin goes off on the side against the wall, and he's over there with his hands just lifted high. He's just lost in the Holy Spirit. And I'm watching him, and then Gabe and Cody turn around their seats. They're kneeling and praying, and I see Chekumseh go up front and pray. So I go around and pray over each one of them, and then I make my way back to my seat. Well, then Austin comes over and sits next to me, and he just starts saying, well, I was over there, and I was praying that the Lord would touch me and move my life. And then I'm looking at all the other kids praying, and I thought, I should just start praying for them, that they just get this, and they get filled with the Holy Spirit. So he's over there, he's praying over them, and asking the Lord to fill them with the Holy Spirit. Then he comes back over, and then the other two just were starting to share about what the Lord was doing in them, and the joy he's giving them, and all the stuff that the Lord was doing in their lives. And then I just got the sense that they wanted to continue to pray. And so we moved our way over to the side, and we began to just lay hands on one another and pray over each other. And then after that, I was done. I walk away, and then this man sees one, someone walk by, and he goes, hey, we feel like the Lord wants us to pray for you. And he draws someone over, and he lays his hands on them and starts praying for them. Then I walk away and turn around, and next thing I know, the scene he described, Daquan's over there with his hands lifted high, and they're praying over him, and it was really cool to see what the Lord was doing that night. And how many of you adults would say, you know, I would like to go to that camp? Doesn't that look like a lot of fun? It is a lot of fun. And so if you have kids, even if some of our families invited some relatives that don't go to our church, they came along. So if you know kids, you have relatives in your family that they have to be going in the second grade up to going in the seventh grade during the summer, and they would be eligible to attend. It is a little pricey. It costs approximately $250 to attend. That covers all the meals and the stay and all of those things. But we try to do various fundraisers to try to attempt to raise some of that money for them. And thanks to some of you that actually contributed some finances to some of them to help them make their way there as well. But it's a great time, and it's just a great season in life, that week of camp, and a lot of things happen there. And so I'm glad that they came, and I'm going to ask the others if they would stand so you can see who else went. Daquan, if you can stand, Chekumseh, Brittany, I think, is hiding in the back, Van Chris back there, Josh right there. These are the ones that attended with us. And I'll tell you one quick funny, you guys can go ahead and have a seat. Before these guys have a seat, I'm going to tell you one more funny story. I hope Cody doesn't mind that I share this. But at the end of one of the services, I don't remember what night it was, the speaker was, Cody's kneeling down, he's kneeling in front of a seat praying. And the speaker says, I don't remember what the altar call was for, but he's saying something along the lines, if you're still struggling with this or having a hard time with this, and you need help with this, just lift your hand so that someone can come and pray with you. His hand shoots up. So I, of course, go ahead and walk over there and start to pray for, or get ready to pray for him. And he looks up and sees me with wide eyes, like, what are you doing? And I said, well, you lifted your hand. Weren't you looking for prayer? And he said, no, I didn't really hear what he said. I just heard him say, raise your hand. And I thought he was going to offer something fun, and I didn't want to miss out on it. So his hand shot up. But we had a blast. It was a great time. Thank you guys for being willing to share. So you guys go ahead and have your seats but back in the sanctuary. Sure, absolutely. Diana wanted to share a quick testimony or report of the young lady we prayed for last week. She wants to share how things are going.
Yes, my niece that we all prayed for last week, that has the children's mirror and all that, and her brain stem fell into her back. So the brain surgery took between 4.5 and 5 hours, but she made it through that. The doctor gave a really excellent report, and all the really tough side effects that she used to have for 2 months, the vomiting, the dizziness, the eye blackness, we just took a stand against all that, and we just said, we're going to believe the report of the Lord. And she came through this surgery miraculously, and we are just believing that's how the next few months will be. Thank you for praying.
Amen. Thank you, Diane, for sharing that with us. And Riley, I forgot to mention you. You were over here hiding from me. She came to camp as well. And it was just a delight to get to know them, each one of them. It's great when the pastor gets the opportunity to build those kind of relationships with those kids. I want to share with you just a few brief comments before we conclude. You could turn to Matthew 18 if you'd like. We read from it the first four verses this morning. Just take a few minutes. It's not a full message, but Matthew 18. Thank you, Elmer. Matthew 18. Again, those first four verses that I read at the beginning of the service said, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, we'll stop there at verse 3. That doesn't mean we are supposed to be childish. You see scriptures that tell us to grow up and no longer be like a child and such. So not that the scripture is contradicting itself, but there is a certain aspect to being a child that is better than being an adult. And one of those such aspects is what follows in verse 4, where Jesus says this, "Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And you see, children are seen sometimes as less than or lower. They haven't arrived to adulthood yet. Plus, they're humble enough sometimes to say things that we're not willing to say. They're humble enough to do things that sometimes we're not willing to do. For various reasons, they haven't received all the different insecurities and stuff that we have yet. And that's the aspect that Jesus wants us to have, is this humility, this childlikeness. Then he continues in verse 5. He says, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned into the depth of the sea." Jesus sometimes uses very harsh language for what he's trying to talk about. Do you picture the analogy? Tying a rope around your neck, connecting it to a boulder, and throwing it off of a cliff into the sea. This is the judgment he is saying would be had to someone who causes a child to stumble in their faith or to harm a child. And children are very valuable in the sight of Jesus. In fact, just to welcome a child is to welcome Jesus Christ. And then he continues, verse 7. He says, "Woe to the world for temptations to sin, for it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom the temptation comes. And if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter eternal life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the lake of fire." Then verse 10, he says, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones." Now, notice that verse about the whole, if something causes me to sin, I'm to cut it off, pluck it out. Notice he continues with these little ones. He's still in context talking about ministry to children. Because he says in verse 10 again, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven there are angels always that see my face, the face of the Father who is in heaven." Now, we'll stop there. Do not despise one of these little ones. Kids can be annoying sometimes. They could be difficult sometimes. They could be crazy sometimes. And they can try our patience sometimes. And it's very easy sometimes to become a person who doesn't like being around children. But that's not the kind of person Jesus was. And Jesus has to give those instructions because those kids that kind of bother us, Jesus wants us to not despise them. He wants us to love all of these little ones. And then verse 12, he says, "What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray?" Verse 13. "And if he finds it, truly, I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that..." Now, I want you to pay attention to this because we know this story well, the whole sheep, the 99, and leaving the 99 to save the one. Notice still the context of which Jesus is stating at the end of this verse, that one of these little ones should perish. He's still speaking about the children. You see, the children that we need to find, so essential and so important to rescue, because the vast majority of people, let's try this. We'll see if this works out. It doesn't always work out. But if you would, if you can, stand with me for a minute. And if your first time, maybe you backslid at some point in your life, but the first time you came to know Jesus Christ, you were the age of 10 or younger, would you just sit down? Sometime in the age of 10 or younger, you initially came to know Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, if you were the age of 15 or younger when you came to know Christ, go ahead and sit down. Age of 15 and younger, your initial time of coming to know Jesus Christ. Now let's go, if you were the age of 18 or younger, go ahead and have a seat when you came to know Christ. We'll do one more. 20 and younger, go ahead and have a seat if you came to know Christ at 20 and younger. The vast majority came to know Christ by the age of 20. And many of you sat down by the age of 10 to 15. And I wanted to, and the rest of you can sit, look around. Most people who come to know Jesus Christ come to know Christ before the age of 18. You know why? We must come to Jesus Christ like a child. It's because the child who's the most receptive and most open. When we get older, we kind of get a little crotchety and stuck in our ways, and we can't change things, and we like things to be the same. When we're younger, we can just kind of go with the flow, and we're so much more open. What that says to us is, as a church, what should be so highly important to us is ministry to children. That not one of these little ones should perish. And I hope that what you saw, experienced at camp, and the testimonies you saw is a testimony to you of the significance of ministry to children. And that's why we've been working to try to improve and strengthen our children's ministries. I thought Riley was going to come and tag me or something. I wanted to thank Carol, who serves all the time downstairs. It was a blessing that about a month after Heather and I came, Kelly showed up and joined our church, and she's now been serving and helping with the children's ministry. We also have numerous others. We have May that's currently right now back there serving. She's now been joined with Carmi, and Dorcas have joined to help May not have to be back there every Sunday. Amen. We have our preschool workers, Maria, I think she's back there currently, and Betty Jo, who's kind of helping with our food this morning, as well as Fortune helping with the youth. And we're recruiting and adding more people to this number to begin to build a ministry to youth and children, because they matter to Jesus Christ. And that should be the heart, amen. That should be the heart of a church, is children. And as we build His church, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit to build His church, we are looking to build young people and build up children. And as we see from the different experiences we've experienced with our own families, as well as the news about the drug problem that's spreading around in our youth culture today, the devil is trying to kill the youth, but the Lord is life for them. Amen? Amen? So, thank you for letting us do something a little different this morning. It's great to see what God's doing in the lives of children. Next week, we're going to begin that Mountain Mover series and learn how to become intercessors for the Lord. But this morning, as I said, we're going to have food and fellowship outside. So I'm going to pray over the food here in just a second, and then we'll make our way out there. I'm praying in here, so you don't have to wait. If the food's already ready, you can go ahead and line up and start getting food. This time, thanks to John Zadowski's brilliant mind, we're going to line up on both sides of the tables to save time and stuff. Eventually, we will probably invest in getting a canopy. So you are kind of still stuck in the sun, but that's okay. We can handle that, right? But thank you so much for coming. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this church body. Lord, you are the builder of the church, and the church is your body. And we thank you that you've given us a church home. Lord, we're not referring to the building, though we're thankful for it. We're referring to the individuals that collectively make up your body. We're thankful for them. And we thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, their lives. We thank you for what you're doing in our midst. And we just ask that you would continue to do a work in our body so that we can glorify Jesus Christ and so that we can be a light on the hill for this neighborhood and for this city. Lord, we ask you, bless the food, Lord, as we're about to partake. Bless it, Lord. May it bring nourishment to our bodies. And may you bless our time of fellowship. May you strengthen our relationship with one another. We ask for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.